Welcome to this beautiful divine office on the morning of the celebration of St. Charles Borromeo. Tomorrow will also be the United States of America's presidential and major election, so don't forget to vote. And you know that if we perhaps have other types of resources, either at the parish level or something like forming consciences for faithful citizenship, we should have already known about that, but if you didn't know about it, you can read it even now. So we're going to begin the office of the readings with the invitatory from the Common of Pastors. So a lot of times on special days, there are different psalms or different antiphons, at least for different psalms. And that's what we're going to do, is that we're going to take the psalm from the first one from the Common of Pastors. Come, let us worship Christ, chief shepherd of the flock. And then let's pick one of our psalms. We'll pick the short one today. Psalm 100. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing for joy. Come, let us worship Christ, chief shepherd of the flock. Know that he, the Lord, is God. He made us, we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. Come, let us worship Christ, chief shepherd of the flock. Go within his gates, giving thanks. Enter his courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Come, let us worship Christ, chief shepherd of the flock. Indeed, how good is the Lord! Eternal his merciful love. He is faithful from age to age. Come, let us worship Christ, chief shepherd of the flock. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship Christ, chief shepherd of the flock. Now let's see if we can pull the hymn from morning prayer, since usually morning prayer we'll have this hymn that specifically mentions the name of the saint for the day. And usually those are considerably more fun on saint memorials. But it didn't have one, so I'll check evening prayer. Well, here we go. Receive this hymn, O noble priest, bright pattern of a virtuous life. As with due praise we sing your name, we laud the wondrous works of God. Christ came as Lord and great High Priest to bind the human race to God, restoring us to peace once more through his eternal covenant. In loving providence he will to make you steward of his gifts, that God the Father might be praised and all his people find a new life, abounding in the Spirit's gifts and consecrated by his power. As Bishop you have handed down the richest fare that brings us life. As you reside in heaven's peace, be mindful of the Holy Church, that all the sheep may seek and find rich pasture in the joy of Christ. All glory to the triune God, who crowns you with a worthy joy, his true and zealous minister, for service by your holy state. Amen. St. Charles Borromeo is also one of the patron saints, or the main patron saint, for catechists, whether lay or ordained, for those who are consecrated and sent or vocated in any way to preach God's word in the church. So also remember, this is a good day for me to pray to him, and it's a good day for you to pray to him as well if you're in that same vocation. Our God will be made manifest. He will not come in silence, is Antiphon 1. Then we're going to pray Psalm 50. The God of gods, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth. From the rising of the sun to its setting, out of Zion's perfect beauty he shines. Before our God comes, he keeps silent no more. Before him fire devours, around him tempests rage. He calls on the heavens and the earth to witness his judgment of his people. Summon before me my people, who made covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens proclaim his justice, for God himself is the judge. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our God will be made manifest. He will not come in silence. Offer to God the sacrifice of praise. And again, it's often good just to pray Hail Mary there or something, but we're just going to stick with this. Listen, my people, I will speak. Israel, I will testify against you. For I am God, your God. I accuse you, lay the charge before you. I find no fault with your sacrifices. Your offerings are always before me. I do not ask more bullocks from your farms, nor goats from among your herds. For I own all the beasts of the forest, beasts in their thousands on my hills. I know all the birds in the sky. All that moves in the field belongs to me. Were I hungry, I would not tell you, for I own the world and all it holds. Do you think I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Pay your sacrifice of thanksgiving to God and render him your votive offerings. Call on me in the day of distress. I will free you and you shall honor me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Offer to God the sacrifice of praise. I want a loving heart more than sacrifice, knowledge of my ways more than holocausts, is Antiphon 3. But God says to the wicked, But how can you recite my commandments and take my covenant on your lips, you who despise my law, and throw my words to the winds? You who see a thief and go with him, who throw in your lot with adulterers, who unbridle your mouth for evil, and whose tongue is plotting crime. You who sit and malign your brother and slander your own mother's son. You do this, and should I keep silent? Do you think that I am like you? Mark this, you who never think of God, lest I seize you and you cannot escape. A sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and I will show God's salvation to the upright. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In ancient times, you spoke to the psalmist, Lord, not to sacrifice with the pagan beliefs or mindset, not to become like them, thinking that they were feeding their God something. You tell us to offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and to recognize that everything that we burn on the altar simply must be something that we give to you, not because you are like other gods, but because you are not like them. We recognize in many ways our history is the history of you loving us immensely and us not responding to the love you have given us in Christ Jesus, your beloved Son, and not living in the Holy Spirit. And yet we have been better than the Old Testament. We have learned more. So again, bless and help your people and restore us. Listen, my people, and I will speak. I am the Lord your God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So our first reading will be the proper reading that would be here regardless of whether St. Charles Borromeo was celebrated today. So this is the first reading, the lesson from the first book of Maccabees, chapter 1, verses 43-63. The persecution of the Jews by Antiochus. King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people, each abandoning his particular customs. All the Gentiles conformed to the command of the king, and many Israelites were in favor of his religion. They sacrificed to idols and profaned the Sabbath. The king sent messengers with letters to Jerusalem and to the cities of Judah, ordering them to follow customs foreign to their land, to prohibit holocausts, sacrifices, and libations in the sanctuary, to profane the Sabbaths and the holy feast days, to desecrate the sanctuary and the sacred ministers, to build pagan altars and temples and sacrifices and shrines, to sacrifice swine and unclean animals, to leave their sons uncircumcised and to let themselves be defiled with every kind of impurity and abomination, so that they might forget the law and change all their observances. Whoever refused to act according to the command of the king should be put to death. Such were the orders he published throughout his kingdom. He appointed inspectors over all the people, and he ordered the cities of Judah to offer sacrifices, each city in turn. Many of the people, those who abandoned the law, joined them and committed evil in the land. Israel was driven into hiding, wherever places of refuge could be found. On the 15th day of the month of Shisrol, in the year 145, the king erected the horrible abomination upon the altar of holocausts, and in the surrounding cities of Judah they built pagan altars. They also burnt incense at the doors of houses and in the streets. Any scrolls of the law which were they found, they tore up and burned. Whoever was found with a scroll of the covenant, whoever observed the law, was condemned to death by royal decree. So they used their power against Israel, against those who were caught each month in the cities. On the 25th day of each month, they sacrificed on the altar erected over the altar of holocausts. Women who had their children circumcised were put to death, in keeping with the decree, with the babies hung about their necks. Their families also, and those who had circumcised them, were killed. But many in Israel were determined and resolved in their hearts not to eat anything unclean. They preferred to die rather than to be defiled with unclean food or to profane the holy covenant, and they did die. Terrible affliction was upon Israel. Responsory prayer. Open your eyes and see our plight. The nations have surrounded us in order to punish us. Reach out your arm to us and save us. Look upon their threats and help your servants to preach your word with all boldness. Reach out your arm to us and save us. So what a horrible and brutal persecution. But now you can see perhaps how the book of Maccabees connects with the broader themes of the Bible. So this is another one of those times that again connects to the times of great distress that God's people go through, similar to the book of Revelation, which came much later than Maccabees, during the New Testament, at the end of the New Testament time frame. So also does this point back also to some of the things that were written in the book of Daniel. And of course, we talk about this in some of our other lessons that we have online, that it's not as simple as thinking that, for example, the book of Daniel would just be fulfilled once to the letter, and then everything would be done, and it would be done. But rather, there are all these different ways in which Antiochus serves as a kind of fulfillment of the book of Daniel's prophecy of great persecution, abolition of the feast days, etc. And yet, the book of Revelation can still point forward to the rise of similar schemes in which we try to unite people into one people. And, you know, the Catechism perhaps has a great commentary on that. Let me just look that up for you. So the Catechism says, or the Church says in Catechism paragraph 676, the Antichrist's deception already begins to take shape in the world every time the claim is made to realize within history that messianic hope which can only be realized beyond history through the eschatological judgment. The Church has rejected even modified forms of the falsification of the kingdom to come under the name of millennialism, especially the intrinsically perverse political form of secular messianism." Close quote. So again, the Catechism may not entirely be clear because it's quoting its own language. Basically, again, this goes back to this idea that he could change all the customs. The Antichrist figure Antiochus wants to change all these people's customs and kind of combine or moreover take their gods and make them worship his own god. And again, that was one of the things too Christians were accused of, that they were changing all the customs that had been handed down to these local peoples, but they had a mandate from the King of Heaven, and they actually had the power to fulfill this because they were building the kingdom of God. But they weren't building a utopia within history. So this is the second reading from a sermon given during the last synod he attended by St. Charles, Bishop. "I admit that we are all weak, but if we want help, the Lord God has given us the means to find it easily. One priest may wish to lead a good, holy life, as he knows he should. He may wish to be chaste and to reflect heavenly virtues in the way he lives. Yet he does not resolve to use suitable means, such as penance, prayer, the avoidance of evil discussions, and harmful and dangerous friendships. Another priest complains that as soon as he comes into church to pray the office or to celebrate Mass, 1,000 thoughts fill his mind and distract him from God. But what was he doing in the sacristy before he came out for the office or for Mass? How did he prepare? What means did he use to collect his thoughts and to remain recollected? Would you like me to teach you how to grow from virtue to virtue, and how, if you are already recollected at prayer, you can be even more attentive next time, and so give God more pleasing worship? Listen, and I will tell you. If a tiny speck of God's love already burns within you, do not expose it to the wind, for it may get blown out. Keep the stove tightly shut so that it will not lose its heat and grow cold. In other words, avoid distractions as well as you can. Stay quiet with God. Do not spend your time in useless chatter. If teaching and preaching is your job, then study diligently and apply yourself to whatever is necessary for doing the job well. Be sure that you first preach by the way you live. If you do not, people will notice that you say one thing but live otherwise, and your words will bring only cynical laughter and a derisive shake of the head. Are you in charge of a parish? If so, do not neglect the parish of your own soul. Do not give yourself to others so completely that you have nothing left for yourself. You have to be mindful of your people without becoming forgetful of yourself. My brothers, you must realize that for us, churchmen, nothing is more necessary than meditation. We must meditate before, during, and after everything we do. The prophet says, I will pray, and then I will understand. When you administer the sacraments, meditate on what you are doing. When you celebrate Mass, reflect on the sacrifice you are offering. When you pray the office, think about the words you are saying and the Lord to whom you are speaking. When you take care of your people, meditate on the Lord's blood that has washed them clean. In this way, all that you do becomes a work of love. This is the way we can easily overcome the countless difficulties we have to face day after day, which, after all, are part of our work. In meditation, we find the strength to bring Christ to birth in ourselves and in other men. Responsory prayer. Seek after integrity and holiness, faith and love, patience and gentleness. These are the things you must command and teach. Be an example to all who believe. If you give them this advice, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ. These are the things you must command and teach. Be an example to all who believe. preserve in the midst of your people, we ask, O Lord, the spirit with which you filled the Bishop St. Charles Borromeo, that your church may be constantly renewed and may conform herself to the likeness of Christ. And by conforming herself to the likeness of Christ, may show his face to the world, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us praise the Lord and give him thanks. And that is the end of the office. So clearly I want to say a few Hail Marys, since I don't want to get out of that habit of doing the three Hail Marys devotion. So, you know, it's amazing how St. Charles Borromeo gives you some really good advice, even though, again, he lived so long ago. Of course, nowadays, we perhaps don't use words. We don't talk about avoiding these dangerous and harmful friendships so much, even though you might imagine that. But it does remind me of something that the deacon who was doing catechesis for me, who became my primary catechist and showed me that beyond homilies, there really was something more to this form of catechesis outside of just homilies that could really impact people and change their lives, but that's another story. And he used to tell us, you know, why do people always think that I'm so much holier than other people? And to me, that also seems to be the same sentiment behind, or the same idea behind, what St. Charles said during the first half of that second reading. It seems as if many people perhaps expect that the priest already has the spiritual riches, especially 1 or 2 years after seminary formation, you know, just to take it on and do everything, and they don't realize that they need to learn this type of meditation as well. The deacon used to say, okay, well, why are people always asking me to pray for them? Why do they assume that I'm holier than them? And that's also the same sentiment that perhaps Charles would have expected from the people who he was counseling at the synod in that first half. And the second half is really good, you know, the advice about meditation and the advice about various different types of things. So that's all I really wanted to say. St. Charles Borromeo, pray for all those who teach in class and those who evangelize and share the wisdom they have received through study of the church's teaching on social media and in other settings.